I think there are three links between the situation inside Somalia and the piracy.
David Smock is vice president of the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington.
First of all, people are desperate. More than half of the people in South Central Somalia are dependent upon international food aid just to survive. Secondly, there's a culture of lawlessness. There has been no effective government in Somalia since 1990. And third, because there isn't an effective state, there's no navy, there's no coast guard, there's no way to police the coast.
But why specifically are people driven to piracy? I mean, we're talking about the Indian Ocean, which has a long littoral. There are many countries on its coast. Why would Somalis pick piracy?
Most of these pirates have a background in fishing. They're familiar with the seas. They've gone far out in the seas to fish. One of the complaints of the Somali fishermen is that their fishing grounds have been exploited illegally by foreign fishing trawlers. But just the comparative income they can get from piracy versus fishing leads them to piracy.
So when you talk about the pervasive lawlessness and the fact that there is no formal government, you're talking then about a failed state. What does that look like on the ground in Somalia?
Well, there are just no effective governmental institutions. There's no educational system. There are no police that are effective. There's little security. People live in jeopardy for their lives. There's no street maintenance. All the basic services that a government would provide are not being provided for Somalis.
All right, and that creates a threat. And the threat is potentially more than piracy off the coast.
Well, there are many internal threats, factions vying for supremacy and for control of the government. There has been some concern, particularly by the U.S. government, about a small handful of al-Qaeda operatives who have taken refuge in Somalia, leading the Bush administration to be really preoccupied with what they considered the terrorist threat and developing U.S. policy around an effort to capture these al-Qaeda operatives rather than trying to rebuild Somalia and get it back on its feet.
You sound dubious about that. Do you not believe that al-Qaeda has found fertile ground in Somalia?
There are some al-Qaeda operatives there. Unfortunately, U.S. policy over the past several years and the general mayhem that exists there have provided more fertile ground for the development of local radicals. So our policy has boomeranged, and we, in effect, have contributed to the radicalization of some Somalis who otherwise might not have been that way.
Well, what could the United States be doing now on two fronts, and other countries as well? One is to stop the piracy. The other is to stop the decay of this country in and of itself.
Absolutely. Those are the two approaches. And on the piracy front, I think there's been considerable progress in putting together an international coalition of governments that are concerned. And now there is a legal apparatus that's been established that if pirates are apprehended, they can be taken off their ships and taken to Kenya, and they'll be tried in the Kenyan courts. Those are both important developments on the piracy front. In terms of reaching peace and stability, Somalia has been stateless for these 19 years, but the first remnants of a national government have been put in place at the end of January. There's still no basic services being provided by the government, but at least there's leadership at the top that has broad support, still challenged by one jihadi Islamist group, the Al-Shabaab. But there is the grounds for hope that this new broad-based government will begin to be able to provide the kind of government services that Somalia hasn't enjoyed for the last 19 years.
David Smock, Somali expert at the U.S. Institute of Peace in Washington. David, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.